as we are winding down season one of the podcast, Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. I want to thank you for joining us. I would also ask if you could go in and write a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Let me know what you think, how you've started to change your thinking, and be sure to invite a friend. Our next season will begin at the start of January on the first Tuesday. Once again, thanks for joining me, and go write a review. Let me know what you're thinking. What your gynecologist doesn't know about endometriosis. Let me share with you this message that I received. What do you do when you get this message? My 14-year-old is in so much pain, she can't even keep her head up. She screams 24 hours a day. I just don't know what to do. We have seen 6 ER doctors, 5 regular doctors, and we never get any answers. They say she has endometriosis, but we've been on the treatment plan they suggest. It's exhausting, and I'm not sure how much more we can take. Now, I wish I could tell you that is the only message I've received like that. I haven't. I've received many of them. In fact, a mom just the other day was struggling with her anxiety so bad that it's making her nauseous, throw up, and debilitated to the point where dad has to stay home from work to take care of the kids. Life, health can be debilitating. It is debilitating, especially with what we're going on right now. So what I'm about to go over is not the 14-year-old's fault. It's not mom's fault. It's a product of the environment we live in. So let me be very clear. I know the last episode we talked about, or we had a story shared with us in regards to endometriosis causing infertility, a loss of marriage, and eventually she opted for hysterectomy. And that hysterectomy has led her to an inability to pee by herself. She has to use a catheter every time she needs to go pee, and she's 34 years old. 34. And her life has been altered because of endometriosis. So, what does your gynecologist not know? Now, before you're thinking, oh my gosh, she hates gynecologists. I don't hate gynecologists. I use one. I use a midwife. I struggle with their education. That's the problem with the medical world, is it's not the doctors themselves. Every doctor goes into this for one reason. Most of them anyways. There is money in it. So you can go into it for money. But most of us go into it because we want to help people. The problem is our education is failing us. Unless you bust free. Now, this podcast is all about beyond the diagnosis. Even though she's been diagnosed with endometriosis, there's a lot more going on to her story. And I'm not going to tell you that I could have cured endometriosis. I can cure it because I don't really treat endometriosis. I treat the cause. Endometriosis is just the symptom. Think about that. Endometriosis is just the symptom. POTS is just a symptom. It's a diagnosis that groups up symptoms together. Now, in my opinion, POTS right now and mast cell activation theory, those are the two new fibromyalgias. If a doctor doesn't know what's going on, it could easily be POTS or macular cell degeneration or mast cell activation, whatever the heck they're calling it. So the bottom line is, no matter what the diagnosis, forget about the diagnosis. Let's dive into what's causing the issues. Endometriosis is not the cause. Something else is causing the symptoms of endometriosis. Now, I would have loved to see the labs of our previous remarkable individual on our previous podcast. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out because her story is incredible. And it was definitely life-altering for her, probably in a more negative way. And like I said, I'm not saying I could have cured her, but I would have loved to see her labs because numbers never lie. So right now, let's jump into the 14-year-old labs. Let's see what her labs say. Let's see what's really going on beyond the so-called endometriosis. Okay? Now, give a little backstory to this 14-year-old. She's had a pretty lengthy health history. When she was 2 years old, she got diagnosed with leukemia and went through rounds of chemotherapy at two. Now, I'm not going to go into chemotherapy, I'm not going to go into cancer. That's a topic for another conversation. But chemotherapy is going to destroy the body. If they're trying to destroy tumors, it's going to destroy the body. Bottom line. So think about a two-year-old. I mean, I have a three-year-old. I can imagine this. Going through crazy intense therapy designed to destroy something in her body. It's not just going to destroy the tumor. It's going to destroy a whole lot of other things. And so over the last 10 years of her life, her body has been fighting. It's been fighting all sorts of stuff and trying so desperately to heal. And now it's come to a forefront. She's 14 years old, can't function. And I did a house call, which I never do. I did a house call to see if I could help take her out of some pain from a physical chiropractic standpoint and to do some muscle testing. But the bottom line is that she was in so much pain and it would come and go that you really couldn't muscle test. I mean, I thought I was successful getting her into some pain relief, but when the pain hits, it hits. Now, before we dive into these labs, she also suffers with crazy anxiety, has been fighting depression off and on, and this runs in the family. So she's got a couple older siblings with some similar issues, not the pain, not the endometriosis, but the anxiety and the depression. Mom says she's battled it as well. So this is literally a product of our environment. There's a reason why we are so sick. There's a reason why the diagnosis lists are getting longer and longer and longer because we're having to come up with names for these things. 20 years ago, all of these symptoms didn't exist. And now that they're so common, they're literally having to create an entire new diagnosis list, like POTS, like mast cell activation, because of these things. But no matter what the diagnosis is, what the world is causing the issues. The diagnosis is only telling you that there are issues there. You already know that. Whether it's endometriosis or not, it doesn't tell you much. It doesn't tell you why. So let's dive into her labs. Now, I want you to realize that all of these labs we received from the time she was 3 on to 14. I didn't take any labs on her. I literally just requested her medical records. So these are labs she already has. She's already donated blood for. Mom and dad have already paid for, which is wonderful because you don't have to pay more money. We just gather what we already have and we use the information. I don't even care if you've been told your labs are normal. In fact, that's what I specialize in, converting normal labs to answers, healing, and hope. Here's how I do it. So as you can see, we have 4 numbers in this middle column. Those 4 numbers represent 4 different labs, okay? And these labs, they parallel. So this lab goes with this, this lab goes with that. And just so you know, we've taken multiple labs, punched them into this document to make it easy to read. On the column on the left here is the functional range. Now you have your normal range, which is like trying to find your ideal. It's like finding your favorite restaurant between California and New York. Good luck. These functional ranges, it's like finding your favorite restaurant from Salt Lake to Provo, or I don't know, Sacramento to LA, or I'm not good with geography, okay? So her right off the bat, we know her glucose is balancing between 66 and 99. Now, that's all within the normal range. The doctor's going to look at her and say, oh, it looks good. Your blood sugar looks good. But I'm going to tell you right now, her symptoms are very, very indicative of low blood sugar levels. When I was over there on a house call for about an hour, she experienced multiple episodes of lightheadedness, multiple episodes of dizziness, and she couldn't quite explain what she was feeling because I think she was feeling a lot. But that is a big reason for blood sugar drops. If you're ever feeling lightheaded or dizzy, your blood sugar is dropping. And I talked to her that night about having more proteins, more fats in her diet. If she can, just literally have a scoop of peanut butter. have a scoop of almond butter, have a scoop of coconut oil, like whatever it is, dump a hoard of butter onto whatever food you're eating. I know my husband does that. Whatever food he's eating, he literally takes like 2 tablespoons of butter and adds it to his food just for the additional fat and calories. So that's one way to balance the blood sugar. That's telling me right now we've got a lot of blood sugar chaos. Blood sugar chaos is the underlying cause of hormone chaos. If you don't have balanced blood sugar, you're not going to have balanced hormones, no matter how old you are. In fact, blood sugar chaos is the number one cause of hot flashes during menopause, not low estrogen. Jumping down here, we continue on and we notice there's some markers for indicating that she needs hydrochloric acid in her stomach. What that means is heartburn, acid reflux, GERD, all the same thing, but that's a result of low hydrochloric acid in the stomach. Following on down, we've got sodium, potassium levels, indicating that her adrenals are literally shut down. Now, your adrenals are a big component of your hormone system. Your adrenals will allow your body to relax at night so you can fall asleep if they're working properly. If they're not working properly, you're going to toss and turn, your mind's going to race a million miles an hour, you're going to think of a whole lot of other what-if scenarios, and your body's exhausted, but your mind's going a million miles an hour. That would be adrenal fatigue. However, when you have blood sugar chaos and you have adrenals that are shot, you have to fix both of them at the same time. You can't just treat adrenals. You can't just treat your blood sugar. If you really want your adrenals to heal, if you've tried to heal your adrenals before, but you're still experiencing that lightheaded dizziness type of stuff, you've got to fix the blood sugar too, because your adrenals and the blood sugar go hand in hand. Mark farther down the line, we've got chloride that tells us our detox systems are not keeping pace. When it comes to endometriosis specifically, we have a major detox problem. We have a major, my body is overwhelmed with all the crap inside of it problem. Because endometriosis has a pattern of high estrogen levels. Estrogen controls how heavy your periods are. It controls the thickness of your uterus lining. So if your periods are so heavy, painful, and they flat out suck, it's probably tilting along the lines of endometriosis. Now they say 1 in 10 women have endometriosis. But I would make that further and say it's going to be double, because half the amount of people don't know that they have it. So if we say 2 in 10 women or 1 in 5 women have endometriosis, that's probably more realistic. Because if you hear like my mom's generation, I know multiple people in my family who have gone to go get a hysterectomy and they're told that their uterus was quite large. And then they're like, well, yeah, I've always had heavy, painful periods, or I had heavy, painful periods after child number 3, or whatever the scenario is, that would be an endometriosis type uterus. But 20 years ago, they didn't know what that was. I mean, now they don't know what causes it. I do. And it's different for everybody. But the top three causes of endometriosis are, number one, my liver detox system is really, really struggling, because estrogen has to go through your liver, get broken down and eliminated. However, if your liver is so busy taking care of all the other crap it has to take care of, estrogen's just going to come in, hang out for a little while, and then decide to go back in the body. So now your estrogen level started here, and they're getting higher and higher and higher and higher with every single cycle. So one of the first things we have to do to take care of endometriosis is to help out the detoxification systems. Not just your liver, your kidneys, your large and small intestine, and your skin. Those are the 5 major detox organs. And we can even throw in the lymphatic system as well. And we'll get to more detox stuff in a minute, because there's more markers that tell us. Okay, next up on this chart. Now remember, I'm just looking at our numbers. These are the same numbers that somebody is told that their labs are normal. Your labs are normal. You should feel good. Go home. Figure out your problems. It's your problem. What's wrong with me? I hear that often. Moms are told that their labs are normal, so they just finally give up. And they're like, well, if my labs keep being normal, then what's wrong with me? Why can't I be able to clean my house and cook my food for the family and then put the kids to bed at night. Why am I so exhausted that I can barely make it through my day? This is why. You can't, normal labs don't cut it anymore. You got to have optimal labs. You got to have the right person reading them, basically, because your labs are only as good as whoever is interpreting them. So when we get down to calcium levels here, if your calcium is ever low, as it is in a couple markers right here, calcium would be an indicator of vitamin D status. Now, if you have osteoporosis in your family, if you're worried about that, you're coming up on menopause or whatever, take a look at your calcium levels and take a look at your vitamin D. Because when vitamin D is low, your body is going to pull calcium out of your bones. And that's when you get osteoporosis or really fragile bones, osteopenia as well. Vitamin D status, big. 30 doesn't cut it. You need 80 to 100. Looking on down the line, we've got total protein values. Now, hers are low, which would indicate leaky gut. However, I'm not so sure about her protein intake, which could easily be a component here for this low number, the 6.8. But then also for the high numbers, her body could not be utilizing that protein very well. Just literally due to all the crap that's inside of it, right? Because again, this isn't her fault. This isn't mom's fault. This isn't dad's fault. This isn't grandpa's fault. This is a product of the environment she's been living in. And unfortunately, her body's taken a hit from 2 years old. So now she's 14 and it's literally just coming to the forefront. Continuing on down her labs here, we have high numbers right here. Now, with alkaline phosphatase, if you have high numbers, or they could say ALK-phos for short, it could simply be that she's growing. And you know, she's 14. She could easily just be growing. I've seen these as high as in the 200s of a 12-year-old with some with a crazy autoimmune problem too. So yes, she could be growing, but right now with how upset her body is at what's going on inside of it, we're going to say liver dysfunction and gastric inflammation. So liver, once again, and the gastric, your stomach, something's causing the stomach to be inflamed. Okay, continuing on down the line here, CRP is actually the most sensitive marker for inflammation. Right here, it's very low. We've got TSH marker, 1.5. Now, 1.5 is, quote, within normal range, but it's not ideal. For sure, it's not ideal. When we treat the thyroid, let's take a look at this real fast. Just because. I'm going to teach you how we truly heal a thyroid in 5 minutes. The thyroid is just one piece of a system. That system we're going to call the totem pole. And the top of the totem pole we're going to say is H. In the middle of the totem pole is P, and the bottom of the totem pole is T for thyroid. H talks to P, which is your pituitary gland. It's a tiny, tiny gland that sits down in the center of your head. P talks to T, your thyroid, by this hormone called TSH. TSH is not a hormone of the thyroid. It talks to your thyroid. So if you're taking thyroid labs, you also need T4, the thyroid produces, and then T4 gets converted into T3. So those are your three markers that you need for the thyroid, TSH, T4, T3. To get even more comprehensive, you got to rule out Hashimoto's, which is TPO antibodies and TG antibodies. But in this instance, with this teenage girl, we only have the TSH marker and it's low. It's low by the optimal standard, which is 1.8 to 3. Hers is 1.5. So what we know is that the pituitary is taking a hit. P is taking a hit. Okay, so let's fix P. We could treat P, but if something is harming P and we're not gonna take care of the original problem, we're missing out here. So we gotta think high upstream. And there's two factors that affect P. Stress. Stress can destroy your pituitary, causing your TSH to go chaotic. Next thing is inflammation. Now, oftentimes, the cause of the stress and the cause of the inflammation are the same thing. You can take ashwagandha all day long, every day for the rest of your life. But if you don't figure out what's causing the stress, your adrenal glands are going to suffer no matter what you try. You can take turmeric for the rest of your life. But if you don't figure out what's causing the inflammation, you're going to just be taking turmeric to survive. there is something inside her body causing stress. Am I going to tell her to change her lifestyle? No. She's 14. In fact, all she wants to be able to do is turn 15 years old. When she told me to use the word if I turn 15. Now, as a mom, that's heartbreaking. That's disruptive. So I completely changed her mindset right then and there. When I turn 15, I want to. If you think your thoughts are powerful, I've taken lots of mindset coaching. Trust me, guys, your thoughts are powerful. So never say if, always say when. There is something inside her body causing stress. There is something inside her body causing inflammation. If we can remove the internal stressor, the internal cause of inflammation, now her body can thrive. It can escape survival mode and really, really, truly start to thrive. And she's 14, which is awesome because one, her body's going to heal faster. And two, she has 75 years ahead of her to live. Live a life worth living, not just live because she can. I'm going to tell you right now, we continue on down her labs. We're going to find the source, the internal source of stress and the internal source of inflammation. It's the same thing. There's a couple things, but the labs will show us, right? So there's the thyroid. Now we only have her TSH, but if we had her T4, I would imagine it's low too. And I would imagine T3 is low too. All because if you don't have enough of the TSH, you're not going to have enough of the downstream products. So you got to feed the top of the food chain in order to get the bottom of the food chain healthy. There's your thyroid in a nutshell. If you've never heard that before, share it, ladies. Guarantee you know somebody who is struggling with their thyroid. Okay, jumping on down here. This is where we figure out the cause of stress and the cause of inflammation. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to caveat this because I can find an infection using normal labs 9 out of 10 instances. There is a chronic low-grade infection that is not being detected in a host of symptoms. Everything from my thyroid's off, but I keep getting told my labs are normal, to chronic fatigue syndrome, to, in this case, endometriosis, to pretty much just about everything. There's a very high chance that there's infection involved. And if you're wondering if this is you, pull out your labs, because I guarantee you have this lab marker. This lab marker is known as white blood cells. Oftentimes, it's listed as WBC in your labs, white blood cells. It's the most common lab everybody takes, known as a CBC. Now, I guarantee you, you've also been told your CBC is normal. And because it is normal. And you want it to be normal. Because if it's not, that means you have a disease, liver disease, kidney disease, heart attack, stroke, like whatever the heart disease, you know, because the labs that we're taught how to read, these exact labs, we're taught to read them to find a disease. We're not taught to read them to find a dysfunction, unless you're me. This is where the dysfunction comes into place. This is why you feel like crap, but yet nobody has answers for you, okay? So here's your chronic infection. What kind of infection? We got to go low. We got to go down here to some more markers. Now, before we jump down, you're seeing some low iron status. I'm imagining this is because of her heavy periods. Now, the treatment that the gynecologist, they gave her two options. One, birth control. Two, hysterectomy. Tell the mother of a 14-year-old baby, her baby girl, that she's got to have a hysterectomy to get feeling better. You're going to take her opportunity of motherhood away at 14 years old. You're going to give her birth control. And if it has estrogen in it, it's going to make things worse. Why? Because estrogen's already high. If you give the body estrogen, it's going to wreak havoc. So it's not the gynecologist's problem. It's not the MD's fault. It's not the ER doctor's fault. It's the fault of the medical system education. They are trained to clump symptoms underneath an umbrella, provide a diagnosis, and then with the diagnosis, give a prescription that will manage their symptoms for the rest of the life. I don't know about you, but as a 14-year-old, I don't want to just manage my symptoms. In fact, I was working with a 25-year-old guy who just got diagnosed with RA. rheumatoid arthritis at 25. And he was told he has to give himself a shot of Humira every single week for the rest of his life. That's not okay with him. It's not okay with me. It shouldn't be okay with you. Was there an infection inside him? You betcha. Parasites, actually. And he confirmed it. He's like, oh, well, I'm originally from Nigeria. And I moved here to the US 3 years ago. It's easily possible that I could have a parasite infection. But not only that, he has 3 cats and 3 dogs inside of his house. The most common cause of a parasite infection in the US. Okay, I'll get to his story later because it's really cool. Going down, what type of infection does this little girl have? Okay, now right here, this high number is going to tell me that she has a bacterial infection. And then if we see anything in this line above 37, we have 3 markers above 30%, I mean. 3 markers that tell us there's a virus. So we have some type of bacterial infection and a virus. Do I care what type of virus or bacterial infection? Bacterial infection, yes. Virus, no. In fact, I was reading research the other day, and it said that 90% of individuals carry the Epstein-Barr virus inside them. 90% have the monovirus. Is it active? Sometimes it can be, and you literally can't even walk upstairs. Is it low-grade active? Oh, yeah. Number one cause of chronic fatigue. This marker right here also tells us a virus is low grade at points in her life. So over the last decade, she's fought a bacterial infection off and on and a viral infection off and on. Okay, that's not all. If we look at some of these things like this marker right here and this marker right here, those were taken at the same time. Well, that's a pattern that throws up a red flag. That red flag stands for an autoimmune disease. Her body is fighting, it's attacking itself somewhere. Do I know what it's attacking? No. Do I have a good idea? It's probably her thyroid. Yeah, because of this marker right here, this TSH, but also because her body can't keep its own temperature. It can't keep stable. Sometimes she's hot, sometimes she's cold. She's got the shaking, the jitteriness. So if I were to make a Las Vegas bet, I would bet it's a Hashimoto's attack on her thyroid. Could there be another attack? Oh, yeah. Usually if there's one autoimmune disease, there's another one somewhere too. The body is tired of fighting. When it's tired of fighting, it just throws its hands up in the air and starts to attack. And what it attacks depends on the genetics that your body tells it, whatever it's attacking. That's where your genetic code comes into play. My family, it's Parkinson's. Many others, it's RA. In other families, it's Hashimoto's. In some families, it's MS, Crohn's, IBD, IBS, UC. I mean, you name it. There's a whole list of autoimmune diseases, but all of the mechanisms are the same. Why is the immune system under such stress? Figure out the cause, eliminate it. Here's the cause for her. Off and on bacterial infections, off and on viral infections. We can tackle the bacterial infection. We can tackle the viral infection. Now, when it comes to a virus, once it's inside you, it's inside you. Bottom line, don't even get me started with COVID because it's just a virus. A virus can be quite active. And when it's active, life can suck. When it's low grade active, it can still suck, but you have no answers to the point where a mom is chronically fatigued, a survival mode. For this sweetheart, it started to attack her reproductive system. She's got extreme pains. I mean, a 10 out of 10 pain when I asked her, when it's in full-fledged force. She hardly sleeps. This has been going on for at least 10 months now. And like the message said, 6 ER doctors, numerous other medical doctors, a endometriosis specialist, get you, who offered her birth control hysterectomy. Okay, so we started talking about the 3 causes of endometriosis. And we tackled the 1, high estrogen levels, detox problem. The 2nd, there's a major correlation with endometriosis and a candida overgrowth. that could easily be a problem with her, and I would definitely treat it. The third issue, which is just new in research, is that endometriosis is actually an autoimmune disease. And here we have it. We have signs of AI, autoimmune. So here, based off of all of her normal labs, she's got the answers that she's spent thousands of dollars for, time, energy, and has gotten nowhere. Now, that's a lot. So where do we start? We always start tackling infections. So we'd automatically start destroying the bacteria. We would start destroying the virus. And I do that with specific supplements that are powerful and life-changing. Doesn't cost much. In fact, I have a patient right now who just was explaining in a testimonial, which I'll share with you after this. She has spent thousands and thousands of dollars on herbs and not gone anywhere. And every time she went in to see this specific individual, alternative medicine individual, they'd always say, oh, it's a detox problem with her side effects. Here, take this. And they'd add another thing onto her. She was showing me her box of supplements that she still has. She said she would take 25 supplements at a time, 4 times a day. That's not okay with me. And it shouldn't be okay with you either. I'm talking maybe 4 or 5 things at a time, 2 capsules at a time, once a day, maybe twice a day, depending on the circumstances. $150 a month. That's it. People have been spending $400, $500, $600 a month. And every time they go in, there's always something new. That's not the way it works with me. So I would outline, based off of these labs and based off of her crazy symptoms, and I say crazy because they're intense and they're numerous and they don't fit underneath an umbrella. So yeah, does she have signs of endometriosis? Oh, heck yeah. Does she have signs of POTS? Oh, heck yeah. Does she have signs of fibromyalgia? Oh, heck yeah. Because they're all symptoms that are just classified underneath an umbrella. The bottom line is that only tells you, it only gives you a name for how you're feeling. It doesn't tell you why you feel this crappy. It doesn't tell you how to fix it. It tells you, it might tell you how to manage things. Lyrica for fibromyalgia, birth control for endometriosis, or a hysterectomy, as in the story of the last episode. This tells you the why, guys. This is why I do what I do. This is my passion. Helping people out who are in dire circumstances. This is why I've trained myself to never think like somebody else. Because if I want different results, I have to think differently. And numbers never lie. And I'm getting dang good at reading these things because I've read hundreds of them at this point. So, there you have it, mom. That's everything, all the chaos that's going inside your little girl. How to fix it? It's probably going to take a good 6 to 9 months because it's so extensive, but it can be fixed and she can heal and she can turn 15 years old and she can go to the concert that she wants to go to. So based off of labs, you can get the answers, the hope you've been searching for, even if you've been told they're normal. I'm Dr. Kylie. Thanks for joining me on the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast. If you can, I would love it for you to write a review. I love reviews. I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to make sure you guys are starting to think beyond the diagnosis, just like me. Train yourself differently and get different results. See you next time. Hey everyone, Dr. Kylie here. I'm with one of my favorite patients. Her name's Brandy. She lives in my paradise, but of course I don't live there, only she does. And she's 31, just like me. We've been going over her health, working with her for probably about 10 months now. And I just want her to share a little bit of her story. So Brandy, thanks for joining us. And if you could tell us what was the problem you were having before we worked together.
So it'd probably be easier to say what problems I wasn't having. I was dealing with a lot of chronic pain and fatigue, and I had some unexplained health problems, and my airway was creating scar tissue, and it was idiopathic, so there was no cause. so they couldn't treat what was causing it. And I had had 3 surgeries in about a year's time. And all along, over figuring out what was wrong with my breathing over the past probably 5 years, just like things like pain and fatigue and brain fog just kept getting worse and worse. And then I started having breathing problems about a year before we figured out what was going on. And every time all those symptoms flared up of the pain and the fatigue and lots of other things, it just kept getting worse as the breathing got worse. And anyways, things just flare up and get worse. And then I feel okay for a minute and I think, oh, good, I'm doing great because I'm working out and eating healthy. But then I burn out a few months later and it's just been the pattern for several years.
So walk us through what it was like, because I know you've done the Western medicine route, you've done herbal routes. Walk us through what your experience was a few years ago with trying to get these things solved.
So for a few years, I just got told, like, so I have hypothyroidism. I got diagnosed with that when I was 19 years old. And so anytime I was tired, I just figured I needed my levels checked for my thyroid, especially after having babies. And after I would get my blood work done, they would just tell me, oh, everything's normal. You just must be a busy mom. You're just tired. I hear that a lot from young moms. And I just always knew there was something more to it, but we couldn't figure anything out. So I would think, okay, maybe I need to exercise. Maybe I need to change my diet and it'll fix the problem. And initially I would feel better because I would get like a new burst of energy, I think, from working out. But then I would just burn out a couple months later. And so I did that for several years. And then I actually lost a bunch of weight and was feeling pretty good because I cut out like lots of processed foods and had a pretty clean diet. And energy-wise, I was feeling good, but I couldn't breathe. And so we just thought I had asthma. And then I started, the breathing was getting worse and worse to where I just couldn't even get up to do anything. And my diet suffered. And so I just thought, oh, it's because I'm eating crappy. And then we figured out the breathing problem. And when they told me that it was idiopathic and I may need surgery like every 3 months or every couple of years, I wasn't going to settle for that. One of my friends does herbal supplements, and I started working with some herbalists and spending a lot of money on supplements. And I would start to feel like, oh, this is helping a bit for a few weeks. And then I would have all these horrible symptoms and they would just tell me it's detoxing. And after, I think, about 9 months of doing that, I just wasn't going to keep spending money to do that. So I stopped doing that. And then we spent probably a year of just trying to eat healthy again and exercising again. And I just got more and more discouraged because all my symptoms were getting worse. And that's when I discovered you.
When you say you spent a lot of money, how much was it?
Probably several thousand dollars.
Several thousand dollars on supplements?
On supplements, yes.
How much money have you spent with me on my supplements?
Not that much.
I try to keep it around $150 a month, and I do a pretty dang good job about it. So you're probably about, I don't know, $1,200 up to this.
Yep.
How have they worked for you?
Really good. And so before I would take, when I was doing those herbs, I would take like a handful of pills 4 times a day.
4 times a day?
Yep.
Holy smoke.
And I would take handfuls. Like, there were times when I would take like 20 pills at a time.
I'm not willing to do that. So I wouldn't require somebody else to do that.
And I will say, like, some of the herbs I use just for like treating acute symptoms, like if you're getting a cold, they would help pretty quick. But as far as like long underlying health issues, it didn't really do any good.
Yeah. So you also mentioned how your labs just, like, you kept getting told that your thyroid labs were normal, and it's just because you're a mom. I know I pulled your labs. Based off of your labs, we were able to take those normal labs and convert them into your personalized treatment plan by figuring out what was the problem. So that was one thing that was different, which is what I specialize in. And then The second thing is just the functional medicine approach. Yes, detox is important, but it's not the only problem. So walk us through a couple pieces of what you've experienced through treatment.
I've taken maybe 4 things at a time, 4 different types of supplements over the past 9 or 10 months now.
Something like that now.
And usually it's like 4 pills or maybe 6 pills, maybe 2 times a day. So that's been awesome. But I could tell that they were like making a difference in my health immediately. I think it was only like 2 or 3 months in when we started working on the gut health that I started feeling a huge difference in my energy levels. And then I think 4 months in, like for the first time in years, I could walk around without wanting to cry because my feet hurt so bad.
What about your hair?
Oh, so my hair has fallen out like crazy for years. And about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, was it that I told you?
Yeah,
I noticed my hair has like, it's normal to shed a little bit, but gosh, I would lose like handfuls every time I showered. And I could tell that my hair was thinning. And now I have so many baby hairs throughout my whole head. And the last time I went and got my hair done, my cousin's like, wow, oh my gosh, there's so much baby hairs all over your head.
You sent me a picture of it one time.
Yep.
With all these little hairs. I have all these little hairs now from postpartum stuff.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, yes, thinning so much.
I have had like postpartum type hair loss for 5 years.
Not anymore.
Yep. And it's still like that. Every time I shower, I go, oh my gosh, I lost hardly any hair. So exciting.
What about the last time you went to your throat doctor? What did he say?
It looks normal. He said, well, I don't see any narrowing. So I guess just keep on keeping on. And if you ever have a problem, let me know.
And so, before that, how many surgeries had you have had?
I had 3 surgeries.
And they were every what? Month, how many months?
So the first one, so I had one. And my airway was 95% closed when they went in for surgery. And then about 2 months later, I could feel that it was closing again. And I was kind of in denial. So I would have needed surgery like then, but I put it off for a few months. So 5 months after the first one. And then it was about 10 months after that second one that I had the third surgery.
And now no more surgeries.
No more.
And your doc said it looks clear.
Yep.
Just so you all know, I didn't do anything to treat that. We just got her to a healthy body. That's all. Okay, Brandy, last question. What would you tell somebody starting thinking about starting on this journey?
Just start it right away. Don't even think about it.
Before you keep wasting more money.
Yeah. I feel so much better. This summer, I went on a vacation with my husband and we went camping. And before, when I would go do things, I would just need naps and I couldn't like hardly keep up. And I hiked all around and hiked up and around the mountain all over for a week straight. And I kept up just fine.
That's so cool. What about now? You've been able to get back to work.
Yep. I've been working and I've been able to come home and still take care of my kids and cook dinner.
I need to take some of my own medicine right now. All right. Thank you, Brandy.
You're welcome.
As we are winding down season 1 of the podcast, Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie, I want to thank you for joining us. I would also ask if you could go in and write a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Let me know what you think, how you started to change your thinking, and be sure to invite a friend. Our next season will begin at the start of January on the first Tuesday. Once again, thanks for joining me, and go write a review. Let me know what you're thinking.